Anybody who's ever taken a road trip with me knows my tendency to push the gas gauge to the limit. I used to be the youth pastor here at Grace, and we used to have a church van, and there are many a student now in their 30s and 40s who remember running on empty with Pastor Derek down the highway at one time or another. I don't know if it's some kind of competition like man against machine or a risk addiction thing or what, but only a few times did we ever end up really alongside the road calling AAA or begging an available parent to come with a gas can. And I've mellowed a bit now that I'm older and a little wiser, but I've also learned some tricks along the way. Like when you're running on low on fuel, you don't go faster, you actually go slower. Did you know this? Did you know that once you get past 60 miles an hour, the aerodynamic drag on the car from the wind resistance begins to increase exponentially, which forces the engine to work harder and makes it burn more gas, right? And so when you're low on fuel, the trick is you don't want to go faster, you actually want to go a little slower. Now, this is going somewhere. I'm not just up here today doing public service announcements about, you know, running low on fuel. But we've arrived in December 2018. And some of you today are already feeling like you're running low on fuel. The gauges on your dashboard of your soul are blinking and flashing, saying, pull over, stop, fill up. This isn't going to end well. Because you see, by most accounts, December is the most stressful month of the calendar year. I mean, think about all the factors. The days are shorter. The weather is worse. Amen? And so everyone's good mood is already deteriorating. And then the workload goes up. At work, there are year-end reports and projects. And then there's also the added work of decorating and preparing the house as well. Time is tight. And money, the great stressor, is even tighter. And then there's the family stuff. People who you've been able to ignore for 11 months are going to show up at your house. And there are political differences and generational clashes. And even the geographical family complexities of who's going where and when can pile on the stress. And because of all of this, people quickly resort to stress-reducing acts like eating rich foods and drinking alcohol. 'Tis the season, after all. It's true that high-calorie foods reduce feelings of stress. Ditto alcohol. But in both cases, it's a very short-term fix, which in the end only adds more and more anxiety. And while all this is happening, there's this underlying powerful force of expectation. And we're going to talk more about that next week, but unrealistic expectations are huge during the holidays. We have this image in our mind of a cozy little cheerful, tastefully decorated home surrounded by pristine snow in which a happy family gathers to share a large dinner cooked to picture postcard perfection. Just go to social media and you'll see only the pictures that show you this kind of scene. But we all know the truth, that as soon as the picture is taken and posted to Instagram, the bratty kid is back to complaining about the presents, and grandma's screaming about Trump, and Uncle Bill is in the corner getting hammered, and dad is checking his email instead of spending time with the kids. And here's the deal. We're all on a collision course over the next 23 days with all of that I've just described. And that's why we're launching this series called The Overcomer's Guide to the Holidays and addressing these things head on. And here's what I want for you today as your pastor. It's our big idea. I want each of you to enter the holidays running on full and not fumes. You see, when we're running on fumes, when we're running on empty, we think the answer is to speed things up, but it's actually to slow things down. Remember, the aerodynamic drag increases exponentially above 60. And quite frankly, some of you are on about 85 or 90 already, heading into the most stressful month of the year. And so today we're tackling hurry, because speed kills. Going faster and faster kills relationships. It kills emotional health. It kills our souls. And when we're constantly hurried, we put our souls at risk. We live our lives on fumes. And so I ask you on this early December day, what is the state of your soul? You see, there are some warning signs that you're living on fumes. This is like the fuel gauge on your car pointing to E, all right? Here's the first warning sign. It's irritability. This is the number one warning sign. Small things start to cause a disproportionate reaction in you. Your kid forgot a section of homework until just before bedtime, or someone is late for a meeting at work, and your reaction is disproportionate because there's no margin. Here's the second warning sign. It's a loss of impulse control. Things like overspending, looking for quick highs that fits in a shopping bag, or overeating or over-medicating or over-talking, finding comfort in gossip or sarcasm, a loss of impulse control should let you know that something is off. Here's another warning sign. It's escaping, turning to things like alcohol or porn or an illicit relationship, or even escaping into movies or romance novels or TV or video games, endlessly trolling Facebook or Pinterest or Instagram, admiring others' lives instead of living your own. These are escape mechanisms that should signal to you that something is out of whack. Maybe your fuel gauge is on E. And if you don't pay attention, you're going to get to the end of the holidays and you're going to look back and say, what just happened? And you're probably going to regret some of the things that you said or some of the things that you did, some of the decisions that you made. But what if there was a different way? What if you stopped along the way to refuel? And that's what I want to talk about today, because in the midst of an extremely busy life and ministry, that's what Jesus did. You see, Jesus isn't just the reason for the season. He's a very near and available help to you during this whole season. And so I want to take you to a passage in Luke 5, 15 and 16 today. You can get there in your Bible or device. Jesus had just launched his ministry. It was an instant success. Crowds were gathering for his messages and his healings. And look what Jesus did. The Bible says this, "But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." Jesus understood that within the press and the crush of life, he needed to pray. Prayer is simply talking with God. It can be a conversation out loud or silent. It can be journaling or songwriting or poetry. It involves both talking and listening at times. And I would suggest today that if we follow Jesus' example, we would be more intentional about talking to God, that we could live on full this December. And I know some of you, I say the word prayer, and some of you are rolling your eyes because you've tried the prayer thing already, or because, you know, this is church, and Derek, I know you have to say this stuff. You get paid to say this. Now, please stay with me today if that's you, if you're skeptical, because I want to get painfully practical, and I want to talk specifics about how to live on full this December. Here's the first suggestion. It's to build in time to stop and fill up. It's what Jesus did in Luke 5, 16. You notice the intentionality of Jesus, that in the midst of the craziness, that he would often, the Bible says, withdraw to desolate places to pray. Wherever he was, he was traveling around in ministry, he would locate a place in the area he was, and he would get alone and he would pray. And listen, Jesus didn't have a less busy life than us. He was a national hero. He had crowds and paparazzi everywhere. He had people trying to kill him, following him around. And yet, if you look at Jesus, his life was consumed with prayer. He prayed daily. He prayed before meals. He prayed in private. He prayed in public. He prayed in the early morning. He may have even done like I do sometimes and stay up late enough that it is early in the morning. He prayed before big decisions. He prayed for himself. He prayed for others. Jesus prayed. And why did Jesus have to pray? Remember, he was God himself. And so part of it was that he was praying as an example to us. But he also prayed, listen, because following God isn't about a religion. It's about a relationship. And part of a relationship is talking with one another. And so his was a picture of a father and a child having intimate conversational moments together. And that same intimacy is offered to us. He showed us that a good life must be lived in a proper rhythm with seasons of hustle and seasons of refueling. And there's this behind-the-scenes strengthening that happens so that our public life can be properly fueled. But you say, Derek, I'm too busy. This is the season. I mean, you're planning and you're baking and you're shopping and caroling and eventing and nutcrackering and you're going to annoying office parties and you've got fruitcake and holiday rolls and eggnog. I mean, who came up with all this stuff? You're trying to do all this extra stuff. Well, my question is this. Are you saving the world? Do you have crowds of thousands following you everywhere, hanging on your every word? If you have a few kids, you might feel like that's true. Are you building a team that will change the course of human history? Because if not, then your schedule is not as intense as Jesus. And he found a way to build in times to stop and fill up. And so we probably should too. And it's easy to think about the costs of carving out time every day to pray. It can feel like you already have so much to do, and now I'm giving you one more thing to add to your to-do list. But let's think about a couple of the many benefits, shall we, of stopping and finding a desolate place to pray each day. One of the benefits is just you can live with peace instead of anxiety. Instead of a bunch of shallow, panicked breaths during December, prayer allows you to take a deep breath of peace and rest and safety and security. But I also think one of the benefits, and this may seem counterintuitive, is that I think prayer is actually a time saver. It doesn't just take us time, it saves us time. So much of our stress is self-induced. You said yes to that commitment when you should have said no. Or you made a dumb decision that added complexity that you didn't need in the first place. Or you violated the laws of love or the fruit of the Spirit in a relationship, and now you're paying a relational price and you're living with all of that added stress and energy to walk it back. Here's the deal. When you make a regular priority of prayer and you sit at the feet of Jesus, I'm convinced that He will help you to avoid some of that time-wasting stuff. That you'll make better decisions, you'll say no to things that aren't necessary, that your attitude won't get sideways so easily, that your priorities will be clearer, that your heart will be in tune with His heart. And many times the path to fullness, you see, is emptying some of the unnecessary stuff. Your best prayer might simply be, God, will you help me choose one thing not to do? Is there a party I don't need to go to? Is there a gift exchange that I could eliminate? Is there an event I can miss? And then see what He says. But I believe that when you regularly spend time with God, you actually get more done and you're not as stressed out. Prayer allows God to speak sanity into our self-induced stress. There's a passage that's familiar to most of you over in Matthew 16:33. It just says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The context is Jesus had just been telling the disciples in this chapter about the kind of loving Father that their God is. And He says the stressful life is normal for the Gentiles because they don't have a dad like yours. But you have a dad who loves you, who cares for you. So stay in touch with Him. Put Him first in your life, and then He'll make sure that all the other stuff is taken care of. Notice that Jesus didn't just make time to pray. He had a place. Our passage says that He went to a desolate place. He got alone. And so I would ask you, where's your place to pray? Hopefully you have a chair where you meet with God. We talk about it all the time. But if you haven't been there in a while, find your chair. Maybe there's a closet that you can hide in from your kids. Or maybe your car becomes that solitary place. We're going to practice right now. This is going to be a little interactive today. And we're going to make a point right now of stopping to fill up with what's known as a centering prayer. I'm going to ask Brian to come, and he's just going to provide some worship music kind of underneath this. I know when I pray, I like to have some worship music playing softly, and I can kind of come in and out of letting the songs be my prayers. And some of you don't prefer music, and that's fine too, but for today, we're going to do it. And I just want to repeat, I want you to repeat a truth again and again for about 60 or 90 seconds. You can do this in your head. If you were alone, you might be more of an audible learner. It might help to say it out loud so that your ears can hear it from your mouth. If you're visual, you can write it down. But you can do this with any truth. But today, I just want to focus on this one truth. And I want you to repeat these words in your heart over and over again just during this next season. You're declaring the truth of this over your life. Simply say these words. Jesus, I'm your child. Jesus, I'm your child. What a difference might it make this December if you lived like that was true. So we're going to do that right now as the music plays. Just repeat that over and over again in your spirit. Jesus, I'm your child. Thank you. I pray that the truth of those words would penetrate any kind of hardened shell that you have built up around your soul. So the first way to live full is to build in time into your day to stop and fill up. Here's the second, is to adopt a go-to method of prayer. You know, a lot of people don't pray because they don't have a plan for what to do when they pray. They just kind of talk to God in their head, and it doesn't seem to last very long without mental wanderings or falling asleep, quite frankly. And one of the methods that we've taught here before, and I want to walk you through again, is just called the ACTS method of prayer. It stands for these four words: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Let me explain them briefly, and then we're going to practice this as well. Adoration is simply praising God for all that He is. The idea is that we shouldn't just approach God immediately making requests. That when we pray, we shouldn't just start in with our list, but our prayer should begin with adoring God, praising God for who He is. That's the adoration. The C stands for confession. It's admitting how broken and sinful we are. See, when we praise God in adoration, we're remembering who He is. When we confess, we're remembering who we are, how weak we are, how much we need Him for everything. And so we spend some time acknowledging all that. Then the T is thanksgiving. It's just thanking Him for what He's given. Here we usually think of the blessings that God has given us, our salvation, our families, our friends, our possessions, even our struggles and sufferings. And then finally, the S is supplication. It's making our requests known to Him. This is where we pray for yourself. You pray for others in your life, for leaders, for circumstances that you're facing. It's just bringing your requests to God. Now, we've provided a resource for you at whoisgrace.com/read. It's just a beautiful blank journaling page that you can print out and use again and again to help you walk through a time of prayer. But right now, I want to guide us through this method of prayer. And listen, when you talk to God, I just want to encourage you to use your normal language. I think people think, oh, I've got to use some fancy language. There's no need to use these and thous. Just be normal. Prayer is a conversation. Paul says in Romans 8 to cry out, Abba, Father. It's another word for daddy. And so when you're talking to your daddy, you should be respectful, but you don't need to be formal. My daughter didn't come to me last night and say, Father, may I beseech thee for a kiss before I retire to the bedroom for my... No, she said, hey, Dad, I love you. I'm headed to bed. I just wanted to give you a hug and a kiss, right? Respectful, loving, not formal. And so with that in mind, I want to ask you just to bow your head right now. I'm going to ask Brian to play Under Us again and close your eyes. And I'm going to guide us through this ACTS model of prayer. And so let's start with adoration. And I want you to think of one character quality of God that you appreciate and just thank Him for that right now. Brag to Him about Him. Let's go to confession. Think back on the last 24 hours. And I want you to just bring one incident to mind that you're not proud of, where you veered away from God's path. Confess that to Him and ask for forgiveness right now. Next is thanksgiving, and I want you to think of two blessings that God has brought into your life. Two blessings. Could be a person, could be a job, material blessing, circumstance, whatever it is. But I want you to just spend a moment thanking God for the blessing of those two things in your life. Draw them both to mind now and thank Him for them. Thank you. And finally, supplication. And this is just praying our prayer requests. So is there something that you're going through right now that you need God's help with? Is there someone else in your life who needs prayer? Maybe they're sick. Maybe they lost a job. Maybe they're going through a divorce or some other life circumstance. I want you to spend a moment offering one prayer for yourself and one prayer for someone else in your life. Go ahead and take a moment to do that right now. One prayer for you, one prayer for someone else. Amen. Thanks so much, Brian, for helping us out today. And this is just one method, this ACTS method of many that you could choose to pray. But I think it's important when we come to God to have a plan of how we're going to pray. So in order to live on full this December and combat the hurry, we've said to build in a time to stop and fill up and then find a go-to method that you can always come back to, like this ACTS method. These two things are good to help you with the regular discipline of praying. But here's a third way that I want to encourage you to live on full in the midst of the hurry this December. It's to practice prayer speed bumps during your day. All right, you all know these speed bumps in the parking lots, or they have some doozies around train tracks that you see here. That's what some of you look like as you're headed into December. And so we're going to redeem the idea of speed bumps, and we're going to apply it to prayer as these kind of speed bumps throughout our day that will help to slow us down briefly as we're hustling through December. I just want to walk through how to make tomorrow an ordinary day, a day that you can spend with Jesus, because prayer isn't for mystics or monks or hermits. It's for everyday people, which means you don't have to do anything heroic. Being with God mostly just means going about your normal day with a different posture and a different mindset. It means going about your day with Jesus. And so I want to take some ordinary objects and I want to demonstrate how they can be a speed bump that will slow us down and remind us to pray. And listen, to all you type A people, perfectionists out there, you're going to think I'm telling you to do all of this stuff. Take some deep breaths, okay? I'm asking you to pick one of these things, maybe two, and try it this week, okay? See if it doesn't help your relationship with Jesus as you go about your day. So the first prayer speed bump is the alarm clock, right? Some of you use a phone, but it's an opportunity to thank God for another day. Alarm clock. Alarm is a tough word, isn't it, to use for your first experience of the day? I mean, what does that word alarm say to you? It says bad news. It says be afraid, be alarmed. Bad things are going to happen. So what if we change the name to an embrace the day clock, okay? We trained ourselves to wake up with these words on our heart. This is from the psalmist in Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so maybe whenever you hear that sound in the morning, that you make your first action to just drop to your knees next to your bed, if you're able to, and thank God for another day to be alive. This is your day, God. Thank you for it. The second item is a toothbrush. And the prayer that we could pray with the toothbrush is, make me clean. You know, when you first wake up, you probably, you know, clean yourself up a little bit. If you don't, there's a bigger problem, okay? It's kind of a weird thing that as you're sleeping, bad things happen in your mouth to your breath. Do you ever notice that? Believe me, other people have noticed that, okay? In a similar way, spiritually, things happen in your mind, in your soul, and you need cleansing for these things too. And so while you're brushing your teeth, washing your face, taking a shower, exfoliating whatever people exfoliate, I want to encourage you to also at the same time invite the Spirit to cleanse your soul. The psalmist said, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And so you just pray as you're cleaning the outside stuff. God, clean my soul. Clean my soul. Here's the third speed bump. your to-do list or your Christmas list, I want to encourage you to add a soul-expanding task to every to-do list. You know, we're really big on lists during this time of year. And so as you're making your list for the day or for the week, or as you're making your list of presents that you're going to buy for each person, I want to encourage you to add to that list some sort of soul-expanding task that'll be a reminder to you. Maybe a brisk walk around your neighborhood, maybe a drive around the peninsula, maybe a visit to someone you haven't seen in a while, or an email, an encouragement to a friend. Add those reminders to yourself on your list to expand your soul and to spend some time with God. Here's the fourth speed bump. It's your car keys, your car keys. And what if your car was like a mobile house of prayer? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, Jesus take the wheel here. I'm talking about when you take the wheel. What would it look like to have Christ in the car with you? That whenever you're in the car by yourself on the way to or from work or to the mall or dropping your kids off at practice or whatever, what if you just turn the radio off and just imagine Jesus in the passenger seat and you just talk to him as you're driving? Maybe you're more intentional about playing some worship music that fills you with joy as you drive. But how could you make your car a house of prayer this December? All right, speed bump number 5, Christmas cards or wrapping presents. And what if you use this time to pray for others? You know, everybody wraps a few presents during December. Some of you still do Christmas cards. But these two exercises have one thing in common. They have people attached to them. And so whether you're addressing an envelope or you're writing a name on a little name tag as you're wrapping a present, use it as a time of prayer for that person on the receiving end. All right, here's the 6th speed bump. Comes at the end of the day. Your pillow. The prayer idea here is that God doesn't sleep. What if you let your pillow at the end of the day be a reminder that while you sleep, God is still running the world? God doesn't sleep, and God will get along just fine while you're snoozing away. And so the idea is tonight that when you see that pillow, you say, God, thank you. Thanks that I got to be alive today. Thank you that you're in control of my tomorrow. And then just let go. Let all the burdens, all the worries, all the pressures, all the unanswered questions, the outcomes of your life, we're not meant for you to carry around on your shoulders. Let them go. If it helps as you lie on that pillow, just have your palms up as you're lying there in bed. And just let that stuff go. And say, God, I realize that as I'm sleeping, you're not sleeping. And so I said we're going to get really practical today. This was really practical. But I want to come back to one idea that Jesus showed us what life in relationship with God looks like. And he's offered us the gift of a divine union with our Heavenly Father. And on this side of heaven, that union is accessed through prayer. And some of you today are walking around with fuel gauges on E already, and we've just entered December. And if you're not there yet, you will probably be soon enough. But what if you went into this Christmas on full? It'll change your whole experience of the holidays. You're going to benefit from being full. Your family and friends are going to benefit from you being on the top of your spiritual game. I promise you, the 3 people in your life that you identified to pray for 3 minutes at 3 o'clock every day, they will benefit from seeing you at your best this December. And the way that we can be living our life on full instead of on fumes is by leaning into God through prayer. And so I ask you today, which one of these 3 things are you going to put into practice first if you aren't already? Do you need to build in time to stop and fill up? If that's you, take out your phone before you leave this room, put in a recurring appointment for December in your calendar reminder, and just do it. Do it. Or do you need a go-to method of prayer during your time with God? Do you need to head over to whoisgrace.com/read and print out the ACTS prayer model as a jump start in the right direction to use through this month? Or could you designate an everyday object as a speed bump, reminder to pray as you go through your day? Maybe it was one that I mentioned, or maybe you could come up with one of your own. But I want to remind you that it is possible to enter the holidays on full and not fumes. We're not at our best when we're hurried, but when we're walking with Christ. And so we choose prayer, and we choose a relationship with God, and we choose to cry out in our longing for Jesus to come and to upend our temptation to live frantically and to enter into our real lives. So we're going to sing this song of expectation together today as we close. God bless you.